The commencement of the church has two ingredients. The first, as we saw in our last recording, is the promise of the Lord Jesus. He said in Matthew 16, "I will build my church." We note there that the church is a building. The second ingredient that we're going to consider now is found in John chapter 16 and verse 7. And it is not just the promise of the Lord Jesus, though it is that as well, but the promise on this occasion concerns the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this case, we're not thinking so much of the church as a building, but of the church as a body that is alive. Every body in physical life that has physical life has spirit, has the spirit within it. When the spirit is gone, that body is dead. And so with this great body, the church, so there was the need for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell that body. And this is what we see when we come to John 16. Even before the Lord Jesus has gone to the cross, he says there to his disciples, he says, "Because I have said these things unto you," speaking of his death, "sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So that's John 16, verses 6 and 7. The Lord Jesus there has been telling his disciples that he is leaving. He's going to a cross and then he will ascend into heaven. And they're naturally upset. They wonder what they're going to do. But the Lord Jesus is bringing them this promise of comfort, the Comforter of the Holy Spirit who will come. The Lord Jesus says, "I will send him unto you." And this we find when we come to the book of Acts in chapter 2. And here we have the commencement of the church on this day of Pentecost. 50 days after the day of Passover, 50 days after the cross, we find this great act, the Holy Spirit descending from heaven. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And there, I think it's clear that the tongues they're speaking in is not gibberish, but it is other languages. People there who were there in that day in Jerusalem, they heard them in their own tongue, in their own language. And this was one of the signs in that very early day that this was of God. This was a work of God, the Holy Spirit coming. Not just coming to dwell with faithful men. We see that through the Old Testament, those chosen by God for various responsibilities as king, as prophet, as priest, the Holy Spirit was put upon them, came upon them to dwell with them. But this is something different. The Holy Spirit is coming to indwell every believer. If you just step back one day from that day of Pentecost, the 49th day after the Passover, in Acts chapter 1 we read of 120 believers. These were individual believers who loved the Lord and who had recognized Christ for who he was, but they were individual. Now they had the promise of the Lord Jesus, "I will build my church," and of course he was going to do that. But this was not an organization that was set up just by man, a structure as such, but this was going to be something living, something with vitality. And on that 50th day, the Holy Spirit came into that body, the church. Every believer was now united into one body. And this is one of the most important points here, this union that came into existence as the Holy Spirit came to empower and indwell the church. There is only one Spirit of God, and he made the people into one body, Ephesians 4, verse 4. The one Spirit made these different people into one. You see that in the remainder of Acts chapter 2 and continuing on through the next few chapters. We see there in verse 42 that they had fellowship together. They were of one mind. They prayed together. They shared together all that they possessed. And this union was brought together not by virtue of natural desire or inclination, but it was a divine work. The Holy Spirit had come upon them. And so with the Lord's promise and the Holy Spirit's power, the church was formed and has continued to grow for nearly 2,000 years. And this raises the question for us, what role does Christ serve in the church today? We've seen the commencement of the church 2,000 years ago. What should be our response towards Christ in this day? Now that's the end of chapter 2. If you go to the course, the Emmaus course that you can find online at Emmaus UK, there is a little exam at the end of chapter 2, and you can just look down through some of those very simple questions and consider some of these points and just to bring them back to mind again. And so we trust that this will be a help to you, and we'll continue into chapter 3 in our next recording.